September 18th, way back in 1870, there was a group of explorers who stumbled across a geyser that they named Old Faithful. They gave it that name because they said it spouted at regular intervals at least 9 times during our stay. And they said there were columns of boiling water being thrown more than 80 feet at each discharge. Now, 150 years later, we know a little bit more about Old Faithful. We know that those eruptions, they can shoot between 14 and 32,000 liters of boiling water between 106 and 185 feet in the air. The eruptions can last from a minute and a half to over 5 minutes. And basically, there is a margin of error of about 10%. Depending on how long the last eruption is in terms of when the next one will take place. I was reading all that and I thought, you know, we call it Old Faithful, and I'm thinking there might be a different term like old, reliably consistent, sometimes, most of the time, reasonably consistent. And I say that because this morning we're going to look at an attribute of God that has no margin of error, none whatsoever. We're going to look at the faithfulness of God. He is perfectly faithful. No plus or minus 10%. And we're going to unpack what that looks like. It's the next part in our series we've been looking at. We called it Hope, and it was born out of a passage I was reading a few months ago from Psalm 62 that declares, "My soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him." I got stuck there. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. If my hope is going to be in Him, then I don't know about you, I want to know who I'm hoping in. If I'm going to hope that a chair is going to hold me up, I want to know, what's that like? Is it solid? Does it have 4 legs or, you know, 3 or 1? I want to know something about it. If I'm going to hope that my car is going to take me successfully from here to, say, Vancouver, I want to know it's in good condition to do so. If I'm going to place my hope in God, I think it's important to know who I'm hoping in. And so we've been looking at some of His attributes. We've looked at His goodness. We've been reminded that even when life doesn't seem good, God is still good. We've looked at His power. Those days when I feel absolutely powerless against some of the things going on in my world, I know that I can place my hope in a God whose power will not be shaken. In those moments when I don't know what to do, when I'm completely at a loss, I worship a God who is all-knowing, all-wise. He's never stumped. And He invites me to lean into Him, to ask Him for wisdom, and He'll provide it. To hope in Him. Last week we spent a little bit more time focusing on the fact that He is present with us always. There is nowhere on the face of this earth we could run where we could escape from Him. Well, this morning we're going to a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, you're going to see it on the screen in a few moments. It's a verse that I think captures God's faithfulness better than anything else that I can find. At least it's my favorite. We'll put it that way. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to carry on. Father, I thank You that You are a God we can place our hope in. You are a God we can trust, a God we can lean on, a God who is our fortress, our shelter, our safe place we can run to in any and every storm in life. You are a God who we trust. So I pray this day, as we look at Your word, we would have the courage to trust You even a little bit more today than we did yesterday. Because you are good, You are powerful, You are all-knowing, You are all-present, and You are indeed faithful. So speak to our hearts in a way that we can understand, I pray. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark Buchanan suggests that the faithfulness of God is a divine attribute we rest in so completely that our rest has become apathy. Interesting phrase. We rest in His faithfulness so completely that our rest has become apathy. I think of it along the lines of that wallpaper on your wall. You know, the one you painstakingly chose with maybe your spouse, or maybe you did it on your own, but you said, this is perfect. This is going to highlight that wall. And you applied it so carefully, and you tried not to get in a scrap with the person you were sticking it on the wall with. And you got it on the wall, and for that first week or two, you said, wow, look at that wallpaper. But after a while, it kind of blended in, didn't it? You forgot about it. You took it for granted. Oh, God's faithfulness for many is treated the same way. If you stop and think about it, it is absolutely astounding. Yet for some reason, we become so accustomed to it, we take it for granted. So when the Bible says God's faithful, what does it mean? Is it loyalty and devotion, or is there more to it? This verse from 2 Timothy 2:13 says it this way. If we are faithless, he is faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You're going to see that verse a bunch of times. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. First question I'd ask you is, who is we in that verse? Who is we? It could be humanity as a whole. We live in a celebrity-focused culture, one where cameras follow the who's who everywhere, showing us what they eat, what they wear, where they vacation. Sometimes I'm not sure how you become a celebrity. I think sometimes it's because of your talent, your skill, your looks. Others seem to become celebrities because, well, they hang out with those who have the talent and the looks and the brilliance, or they just declared themselves a celebrity. But if you somehow achieve that status, with it comes the ability to influence people. Celebrities influence style, and they influence trends. But they also influence perspectives, don't they? They influence the way people think through their words, through their actions. If they endorse something, suddenly a whole lot of people endorse something. It's a celebrity-oriented culture. Well, what if those celebrities are faithless? What if the athletes and the politicians, the people who seem to hold so much power and sway, what if they don't believe in God? Or what if the intellectual community doesn't believe in God? The doctors and the scholars, the scientists and the mathematicians, the ones who seem to know it all, what if they don't believe? What if they're faithless? What if the movers and shakers of humanity, the ones who have the big bank accounts and know how to spend money in the right places to get things done that they want to see done, What if they remain faithless? What happens to our world if that's the we Paul's referring to? Well, if the rich and the powerful and the famous are faithless, God remains faithful. Why? Because public opinion is really a lousy gauge for measuring truth. One writer said it this way many years ago, the aggregate thinking of fallible men is less than nothing when set against the one solitary mind of God. The aggregate thinking of fallible men is less than nothing compared to the one solitary mind of God. If we are faithless, he's still faithful. Well, what if the we is the people of God? It's one thing to say the we are outside the doors. What if the we are inside the doors? What if the people of God are the ones who are faithless? Well, if you've read the Old Testament, you know how this plays out, don't you? Go back to the very beginning. Start in Genesis chapter 3. Humanity just shows up, and what's the problem we have? Remaining faithful. Turn a few pages, start reading the story of Noah. Why was there a flood? People were unfaithful. Look at the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What becomes the problem? They're lacking in faith. Fast forward from there to the days of the judges or the days of the kings. Look at the days of the triumph of the United Nation or the desperation and heartbreak of a divided one. The story remains the same throughout it. God is faithful moment by moment, day by day, year after year. God provides for his people, and yet they're faithless. They struggle to believe. And it's not just the Old Testament. Turn to the New. Look at the stories of the disciples who get to walk with Jesus. And they struggle to remain faithful. Put the book down and look in my own heart. Look in your heart. We struggle to remain faithful too. What if that's the we? What if the church is faithless? He's still faithful because he cannot deny himself. What if the we is the leaders of the church? It's never easy to hear the story of Christian leaders who fall. I read a one just this last week that made CBC News, an Alliance pastor in Regina. Horrible to read about. And the shockwaves of those kind of failures pierce hearts so deeply that some begin to question their own faith. Sadly, those stories are far too common. But each one reminds me of advice given by an old pastor to his congregation. He said, if someone from whom you've learned much turns out not to be true and faithful, above all else, don't follow their unbelief. Follow God. Don't follow their unbelief. Follow God. Why? Because even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. When we use that word faithful, we mean that someone is keeping their word, don't we? They're discharging the duties of their office. They've proven to be trustworthy. In that context, geysers are called Old Faithful. In that context, people can be proven faithful. My dog is faithful because she follows me everywhere. Faithful. Is that what the Bible means when it's talking about faithful, or is there something more to it? I think there is, and it's in that last part of that verse, which is why I love this verse so much. It says, he cannot deny himself. I want to tease that out a little bit. God is bound by who he is. He can never, even in the smallest degree, be anything contrary to the character of goodness and holiness and wisdom and truth. He cannot go against himself. He cannot deny himself. There is never a moment where he is not good, where he is not holy, where he is not righteous, where he is not just, where he is not patient, where he is not loving, where he is not merciful, where he is not gracious. He is faithful. He cannot go against himself. He cannot deny who he is. Now think about this for just a minute. He never wavers. He never falters. He never has to look back on the last 24 hours and say what every one of us in this room has said. I had a bad day. He never has to look back on a conversation he had when you prayed and he communicated with you and said, oh, I wish I would have said that differently. He never has to look at a moment where he bestowed grace and said, oh, I made a mistake. He cannot deny himself. Never wavers, never falters, never goes against his nature. I don't know. As human beings, we know what it's like to fall short of our best, don't we? We know what it's like to fight against that sinful nature that's always at war, Paul says, against us. We're never the perfect version of ourselves, but God always is, because he can never deny himself. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light and in him is no darkness. I was reading this last week about stars, and I'm not a star guy in any way, shape, or form, but I was reading about stars, and I read about photospheres, and some of you know all about what those are, but they described them in this article as an envelope in which the star's heat and light radiate. They said it's just a portion of the star, and no matter how hot or how bright or how big a star might be, there is a big part of that star that is black, and it's dark. Because the photosphere is only part of it. When it comes to the one we call the light of the world, there's no dark places. The photosphere is not just a tiny portion, it is all of who he is. There's no darkness, no blackness, no sin, no unholiness, no injustice, no ungraciousness. He is who he is. He cannot deny himself. So what difference does any of that have to make in our lives? I started making a list of guarantees we receive because God is faithful. And I've narrowed it down a little bit. I'll give you a few of them. God's faithfulness guarantees that he cares about our well-being. Last week we were in Psalm 139, and in that psalm we read those words, God knit you together in your mother's womb. That means you are not some sort of randomly constructed project. You are painstakingly woven together by a God who cares. And if he cared enough to weave you together in your mother's womb, he cares enough to watch over you through every day of your life. He's faithful. Guarantees that he cares about us. It's not all. God's faithfulness guarantees that our tasks will be in proportion to our strength. You've heard this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. But when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so you can endure it. Psalm 103:14 says, he knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. God knows us. He knows how much pressure our hearts can stand. He knows how much weight our shoulders can bear. And he promises that he will be with us and strengthen us and equip us to carry the load that matches our strength. Sometimes you wonder, God, you must see a whole lot more in me than I see in me. Because life can be overwhelming at times, can it? But in those moments, we're reminded that God's with us, and he will give us the strength we need to face the challenge he's put before us. He's promised it, and he's faithful. His faithfulness guarantees that we receive forgiveness when we confess our sin. 1 John 1:9, you know that verse. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you stopped to think about that verse recently? It's more than just a promise of forgiveness. It's a statement of his faithfulness. If God did not forgive when we confess, if he did not extend mercy to those who earnestly seek it, if he did not bestow grace on those who came pleading for him to be gracious, then he'd be unfaithful. He'd be going against his word. He'd be doing what he cannot do. He'd be denying himself. One writer explains it this way: by forgiving our sin when we confess, the gentle, tender attribute of mercy becomes solemn, stately, and eternal. Great is his faithfulness Because he forgives you and he forgives me when we confess our sin and ask him to forgive us. There's more. His faithfulness guarantees the progressive perfecting of our character. Progressive perfecting of our character. We are a project under construction. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will be what? Faithful. There you go. He who began a good work in you will be what? Faithful to complete it. Faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who called you, who will also do it. God doesn't begin a construction project in our lives and then get disgusted or distracted, nor does he run out of resources to finish what he started. But don't miss this. You and I, we have a part to play in that project. We have an important part to play in that project. If God's going to complete his work in me, then I've got to remember that I can't keep getting up off his workbench. If he's going to finish the work he started in you, you can't keep grabbing the chisel from his hand and saying, I've got an idea, let's try this. He's the master craftsman, right? That means that we are his project. I think we sometimes get our roles reversed and we appoint ourselves project manager. This is what I want you to do in me. I can even help you do it. But God said he will do it in his way and his time, using the tools of his choice and his design, because his faithfulness guarantees the progressive perfecting of our character. So how do you respond to the faithfulness of God? I'm going to take this in a weird direction. You might think it's weird. Tuning. I was looking for Val. I was hoping she was here today. Yay. Band. You hear the word tuning, and if you were ever in a junior high school band, that word means something completely different to most other people. Squeaky clarinets and saxophones straining to find the right note. Trumpets and trombones blasting in a volume unfit for human ears. Flutes and piccolos piercing the regions of the sound spectrum and making dogs bark for miles around, all in a quest to find a B-flat, which sounds so simple. But if you've been there, oh, it's chaotic. It can go on way too long. But in the end, it's worth it, because if a band is tuned to the same note, it has the potential. I say that on purpose. Potential to sound fantastic. Again, I say potential, partly because a friend of mine sent me a clip I just had to show you this morning. It's not enough to be tuned to the same note. You need to play in the same key.
Thank you.
Yeah. I laughed in my office, and Tammy and Josh came running in to see what was so funny. And I said, I got to show it. This is where this is going to make sense, trust me. When we hear the sound of God's faithfulness, it is intended to stir in us an appropriate response. God intends for it to stir in us a replication of the same note, the same pitch, the same key. That part's really important. Hebrews 10:23 says it this way, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. My paraphrase, respond to the faithfulness of God with God-empowered faithfulness. Tune your instrument to the one who's playing an unwavering B-flat. Tune it carefully and then play the same song. But that creates a problem for me. And it does for you too. Because when it comes to being faithful, I'm a little too much like Old Faithful. I have a significant margin of error. So do you. But there's some good news. And it's in one more guarantee I haven't touched on yet. One more promised link to the faithfulness of God. It's found in some very familiar words from Matthew 28, the closing verses of the chapter. You'll recognize them, but I want you to listen for the promise that they contain. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I am with you. Some of you need to hear that this morning. No matter what you face, no matter where you go, no matter how big the trial or how deep the valley, God's faithfulness guarantees his presence. He goes with us always. And when it comes to remaining faithful, that's a game changer. Because it means I'm never alone and neither are you. The Holy Spirit walks with us, teaching, guiding, equipping, empowering, all of that so that we can live a life we could never live on our own strength, a life that shows glimmers of faithfulness, even when we are not. Bill Bright once described the faithful Christian life as one where we learn to breathe. He said, we exhale, we confess our sin, we agree with God's perspective on sin, and we thank him for the forgiveness he offers. But remember, confession involves repentance, a change in attitude and action. We exhale. Then he said, we inhale. We surrender the control of our lives to Jesus. We receive by faith his offer of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. We lean in and we listen for his voice, for his guidance and his direction. We learn to breathe. We exhale and we inhale. I find that really encouraging. Because your life might be scarred by unfaithfulness. I know mine has been in some ways. Those you trusted may not have always proven to be faithful. Some of you this morning know what that's like in terms of friendship, in terms of a marriage, in terms of a relationship with a parent, a neighbor, an employer, a confidant. Because many of us, our lives have been touched by unfaithfulness. And yet, do you remember where we started in Psalm 62? Where we were told to place our hope? We place it in God. My soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. He alone's my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. I don't know about you, but I'm so tempted at times in life to put my hopes in other things. In other people. In money. In position. In influence. In recreation. Man, if I could just get away, then I hope I will. You know how it goes. We hope in many things. And then we wonder why it is that we feel rattled when those hopes crumble. So I invite you again to place your hope in Him. He is good. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. He's always present. But that's not all. He's faithful. He will not deny Himself. Let's pray.